Okay, we're gonna stop recording.
We are.
Except for Craig.
Craig will remain until he gets tired, and then he'll leave.
And if there is anyone on YouTube, thank you. And thank we're going to be dropping.
Thank you, YouTube. Join us in our chat room. Go to pride48.com.
Yeah. Thank you next is an Ariana Grande song. Mm-hmm. We're off of there, but we are still on the Pride 48 audio stream.
We are. By the way, Sebastian said that you could call it something like Cali Chinese.
Wait, I was reading Lamont's message. Say that again.
Cali Chinese.
Cali Chinese.
Yeah. Oh. Maybe, I mean, but I feel like Cali Chai would probably be like.
Cali Chai.
Cali Chai. I'm going to have me some Cali Chai. Yeah,
like
you can do
Tex-Mex.
That. Yeah, yes. Like Tex-Mex. Yeah, Cali Chai. American Chinese food is Cali Chai.
So, Adam, I was in your state on Sunday. I straddled Texas and Arkansas and Texarkana. Oh. I had a coworker friend from there, and on my drive to Plano, I needed to see that. Let's just say I know Tontitown must be leagues nicer than Texarkana. I can't imagine a more horrible place on earth. Well,
Doesn't Texarkana end in an S? Isn't it just Tex Arkansas? Like, isn't there an S at the end?
I don't believe there is an S. I don't believe so. Well, Tontitown's very small. There's not much here except for like fields and there's a few stores and stuff like that. But in the area is nice.
Yeah.
Like we took you to some nice places, like the Bentonville Square is very nice.
You took Lamont to the Bentonville Square?
No, you.
Oh, me. Oh, yeah. I've been to the Bentonville Square. Yeah. I've been to the Walmart Museum.
Yeah.
In downtown Bentonville.
So
while we waited to eat at a restaurant next to the Walmart, well, near the Walmart Museum.
Yeah, we had a reservation or something, yeah. Or they had a wait, or I don't know.
It was bitterly cold. Always bitterly cold. So bitterly cold. Texarkana, in fact, is spelled exactly like Lamont Cranston did. My apologies. On that
from someone who's from New York, we live in a country area. I mean,
there
are cow pastures on your way. Yeah, everywhere. But that being said, we live in my opinion, the nicest part of Arkansas.
It's
and we have the
nicest cow pasture.
We have, you know, a local theater that brings in touring Broadway musicals. We have malls. We have, you know, we have all the things you would need, an airport, all the things you would need. I have an airport 15 minutes from me. So, I mean, I have everything that I need here, but it is out in the country.
Plus you have spaghetti and fried chicken.
We do.
Yeah.
It's not in the parking lot of the Catholic Church.
It's not that good.
Yeah, you didn't like you were not a fan.
I like my spaghetti sweet and my chicken crispy. And their spaghetti was very acidic.
Acidic, it was.
And yeah. The chicken was not crispy. I like my chicken crispy, What was it? It was chicken,
just like my man.
No, chicken and what? Chicken. What it was what was I even talking about? Chicken crispy
noodles. Spaghetti.
I like my spaghetti sweet, my chicken crispy, and my homosexuals flaming. I don't need this tab anymore over here. So, tell me about your upcoming trip, Adam.
Well, I was just gonna talk about where I'm going. I don't know if I've mentioned everyone what we're doing. So we're going to. We're the ultimate destination is a cruise.
Yeah.
But the cruise is leaving from Cartagena, Colombia.
Yeah.
So we're, and it's a town obviously on the coast.
Yeah, I would hope.
It's kind of the northern.
It's very difficult for those cruise ships to leave from inland.
Kind of northeast.
Yeah.
You know, Colombia is right at the top of South America. So we don't have to take our cocaine with us.
Oh, nice.
We can just get it once we're there.
Nice. That's
good. But anyway, so we're going there, and because our anniversary is on the 4th and the cruise doesn't leave until the 5th. So we decided to spend a few days in Cartagena to pad out the trip because it's a 7-night cruise. And we wanted to take around 10-day vacation. So we're going to be in Cartagena for 3 days. Mm-hmm. And then on the 4th day, we're going to... it's where romance novelist Joan Wilder was pulled to in order to rescue her kidnapped sister in 1984.
Oh. And then
Sounds safe.
And then Danny DeVito chased her.
And then Danny DeVito chased her.
It's a movie, Adam. It was a movie.
Oh, it's a movie.
It took place in Cartagena.
Oh, Romancing the Stone. I haven't seen it, but I've heard of it. Anyway, so we're going there. We're going to do...
It was good. It had Michael Douglas, right? Was it Michael Douglas or was it President Bartlett? Yeah, it was Michael Douglas. Michael Douglas and... what's her name? I like her. She was the main lady. Kate, she got the smoky voice. Who's the broad with the smoky voice? Kathleen Turner. Kathleen Turner.
Oh.
Have you heard Kathleen Turner? Like, just like listen to her voice before? Like, just
no.
Let me find an example here. Kathleen Turner. Since we're in the after show where we can play copyrighted things. Here's Kathleen Turner.
Ultimately, the actor is the expert on the character. I mean, the playwright may have written it, but the way an actor lives with the character.
I don't know why she does the, it's like, I just, she's like sinks down into that final.
The end of her sentences, the end of her sentences.
The thing is, I don't really
give a fuck about you.
So we're going there. Cooking class.
Cooking class in Cartagena.
And Colombian food. And then we're going to do a beach day and we're going to do all kinds of fun stuff. And then the cruise is going to Aruba, Curacao.
Oh.
So I'm going to go to a Curacao distillery taste blue Curacao.
I think I've seen an Ethan Travels video from Curacao. What, didn't he go there?
Young twink guy?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've not seen a Curacao video from him, but you've probably been watching him longer than me. I don't currently watch him because he just kept
getting
new boyfriends and then breaking up with them.
Yeah, I haven't watched him lately. This is when he was doing his island. This is when he's no longer traveling abroad. He's now just in the United States. So
he's in the US and he's like, he's not even doing the RV anymore.
No, he sold it. Yeah.
So anyway, so then the cruise, Aruba, Curacao, Dominican Republic. Mm-hmm. Where else?
I don't know.
Panama.
In Panama.
Tony dropped out of the chat room. I wonder if he said bye.
Well, it doesn't, because he listens to Level 13.
That's true.
So he'll hear this. He's like, you know, he can't stay up all night, Adam. He's got a job. He's got a drive. He's got places to be, man.
Tomorrow's Saturday.
I don't know.
Gary says there are dick dancers nude in Colombia.
Oh.
Huh.
Swinging Richards in Colombia. Sounds like fun.
I'm a little bit nervous about everything I've read says Cartagena is safe.
Yeah.
If you stay in the touristy areas.
Yeah, of course.
Especially.
In the daytime. Yeah, of course.
All the time in the touristy areas because they have a big police. They're really trying to pump up tourism in Colombia.
Okay.
So everything is said it was safe, but where a bar might be that would have nude dick dancers might be in an area And you'd be going there at night. I do not want to get.
Yeah. Is it a Virgin cruise?
No, it's a Royal Caribbean.
I was going to say there might be dick dancers on board if it's a Virgin cruise. The Hunky Jesus, the annual competition here at Easter. I'm sorry, I was reading what the chat room was saying. Tony in Illinois, who's listening. By the way, do you remember the Diffie-Hellman from the other night? It sounds like fun. I hope you have a good time. How long is the cruise? Is it a 10-day cruise or?
It's a seven-night cruise.
Yeah.
We'll be in Colombia for 3 days. So it's like a 10-day trip.
Yeah.
Total.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well,
if I don't come back though, you'll know I was kidnapped by a cartel.
And held for ransom. I don't know who they would expect would pay the ransom though.
I guess my mom.
Oh, I mean, really? She'd be like, then you would have to take gay out of the title.
Yeah. She's like, I'll pay.
But only if you take gay out of the title.
Out of the title, yeah. The next one is mine, but I feel like we should not do two of mine in a row. So
that's
you
fine.
Can
that's fine.
Do one of yours.
Some of these are really small. I feel like I can, you know what? There's one here. I'm going to just slide it up to the top. That is a evergreen story. We can talk about that anytime. I didn't watch ER when it was on. Like
I don't think I finished it because it went so many seasons,
yeah,
but
like 15,
I did watch it.
I think it was like 15 seasons. And I just never watched ER. And of course, we ended up, we have HBO Max as one of our subscriptions right now for, the dragon thing, anyway, it's just one of the ones we have. And
do you think the ship captain guy who was going to be the hand of the queen or whatever, mm-hmm. do you think he's dead?
No, I don't, because we didn't see a body. And in any kind of television show, if you don't see the body, then it doesn't, they're not
also
necessarily dead.
Does she have any more kids?
I don't know. I'm House of the Dragon is what we're talking about. Season two or three?
Sorry, I'm being cryptic. No, I think this is season three.
Anyway, that's what we're talking about. And there's only been one episode. And yeah, I forget everything that happened before that. Anyway, that's not the point of this story though, Adam. The point of this story is that ER is on HBO Max. And so I like The Pit. And of course, Noah Wiley was in both shows. And so, let me watch young Noah Wiley, since I've been watching old Noah Wiley, And I started watching it and it's good. I like it. But it is not something you can binge. Like you can watch two episodes of ER and then you gotta take a break. That show's intense. I mean, it's like they're going to lose their job. Oh my God, they're going to get sued. Oh my God, they're going to
recording stopped.
Do this other. It's like, it's such a, it's just stressful, man. It's just like, they're constantly stressed. It's difficult to watch a lot of.
See, for me, it would be because all the death,
yeah,
you know, and people having diseases and dying, but like Grey's Anatomy is really more of a, you know, more of a soap opera.
Yeah.
With sick people in it. But ER was really like The Pit, where they focused a lot on the emergencies and like what was wrong with the people and all that kind of stuff. And so, you know, I can take a little bit of that at a time. I do like The Pit. And I remember enjoying ER, but it's been a long time.
So, that was it. That was my whole topic, Adam, was it's not like you're going to go like, oh yeah, I cleared out season one last weekend. It's like,
so are you still in season one at the moment?
Oh God, yeah. I mean, Adam, there are 24 episodes in season. There have been total 15 seasons, 331 episodes. Season one has 25 episodes, and then the next several seasons have 22 each. Total runtime, 14,000 minutes, 243 hours. The most common binge watcher age for it was 27, meaning that they were 2 years old when it premiered. That's me, of course. It's crazy. It was, it's like one of those, this will be a multi-year project to actually watch it. Although I have asked Sebastian, you know, let him know, I don't want spoilers. I'm just curious, like, are there better seasons than others according to the internet? And he was like, well, hold on. I got that conversation. I can tell you, but it was one of those, So this was his breakdown of it. He's like, there's the golden era, which was seasons 1 through 5. And then there was the transition, which is seasons 6 through 8, which is still good, but the show starts to shift to another thing. And then there's the decline, which is seasons 9 through 11. And it's like, it's all right. It's background, you know, but it starts to get kind of dumb. And then there's the rough patch, which is seasons 12 and 14. And this is what he wrote. It's like, this is where the consensus gets brutal. Seasons 12 through 14 are widely considered the worst stretch. No original cast members remain. The new additions don't click as well, and the storyline feels forced. Season 14 is almost universally ranked dead last. It was cut short by the 2007-2008 writer strike, so only 19 episodes, and plot arcs got chopped up. Even in the return, Jeannie Boulay, I don't even know who the fuck that is, couldn't save it. And then they said, the final season is all right. So, that's how it kind of breaks down there. But
so there are 15 seasons?
15 season, and the shortest season amongst them has 19 episodes.
Now we have a Grey's Anatomy that has 23 seasons, I think.
Yeah.
Or they're on season 23 right now. Yeah.
Didn't they just finally get shut down?
No.
They didn't?
I don't think so.
I think they were just finally not renewed.
Let me see. Grey's.
And then I've got another one that I can talk about here. I don't know that. Did you ever take my advice and watch the Reckless Ben Lego thing?
It has not been canceled. It was renewed. Say that again.
Did you ever take my advice and watch the Reckless Ben $200,000 Lego thing?
I don't remember you recommending that. So no.
We talked about it on this show. We talked about how the guy with cancer was selling his old Legos, and then the store, like, was selling them on consignment, and then the store changed owners, and the new owners were like, new store, who this? Right?
It's like, oh, yeah. I remember you telling that. Yeah.
And it turns out they're all a bunch of Mormons. The sleazy people are all a bunch of Mormons. And just as an update to that,
is this a documentary?
No, this is not happening. This is happening in real life. It's so weird because it's such a melange of things, right? I came to know of this. That sounds like such an Indian phrase, doesn't it? I came to know that you would, they always say that. It's like, we came to know that this was not correct or something like that. Sure. Anyway, Adam. Idioms, aren't they fun? What was the point? I first became aware of it because of this YouTuber, this Reckless Ben YouTuber. And the story.
You told me the story was on YouTube.
It was on
YouTube. But there was a better version that was done by the guy.
No, it was a YouTube video. But then as the YouTube video progresses, like, it shows the police harassing him. And then he gets arrested. And he's like, you know, it's like this whole big chain of events. It's two different videos. And then in real life, before he could release the third and final video, he got sued by the Lego people and had a gag order placed on him where he couldn't release the video and couldn't talk about the case. And now it turns out that the judge who issued this gag order without ever hearing from Ben. Like, this was just a one-sided, they went, Bricks and Minifig went to this judge and said, like, he's harassing us. He's like, he's horrible. He's making death threats on us. You've got to, like, you know, he's slandering us. You got to make him shut up. And the judge was like, okay, yeah. And he, like, ordered Ben with a gag order, right? But since that time, it turns out that the judge, also Mormon, is on this really shaky ground because there's no evidence of anything that they're saying. And you know, so it's like made a lot of headlines, and they're all kind of like, and the owner, in the meantime, the owner of this Bricks and Minifig has been going on other YouTube channels. He's been on CoffeeZilla. He's been on some other, journalism podcast and whatnot. And he's just guilty as fuck. It's like CoffeeZilla, like, caught him in like 3 or 4 lies and, like, confronted him with them. And then he just pivots to another lie. It's like, he's like, they're saying that there was a U-Haul truck outside, the night that he came to take over the store, he arrived in a U-Haul truck ready to take stuff away. And he's like, no, there was no U-Haul truck. In fact, the footage from that night, is from the video camera, from the security cameras is publicly available, on the internet. Everyone can see that there's no U-Haul truck in the parking lot. And then CoffeeZilla goes through it frame by frame and is like, and if you adjust the lighting on this one, there's a fucking U-Haul like parked out in front. And then he then interviews the owner, and the owner's like, well, what happened was that he had rented a U-Haul, but it was to tow his camper because the rental car agency didn't have a truck that would tow his camper. And so he had to rent a U-Haul to tow his camper. And so that's why the U-Haul was there, because it wasn't being used as a U-Haul. It was just being used to tow a camper.
So wait, who's lying?
The Bricks and Minifig, the people that stole the Legos.
Okay. Not Reckless Ben.
No, not Reckless Ben. So now at this point in time, Bricks and Minifig files a settlement claim this past week where they essentially give up on everything. Like, they're basically like, no, take away the gag order. He can do it. Everything. He just can't do these things that are illegal, which are like things that are already, there's laws against them, right? Like harassing people and trespassing and stuff like that. It's like, okay, great. So he's agreeing not to do illegal things. And you're, so clearly you're losing, you realize you're losing. And, it's so fascinating to watch. Just keeps getting weirder and weirder. They reach this settlement, and the judge, the one that put the gag order on, won't sign the settlement agreement. He's like, wait. This settlement agreement, you're going back on everything you told me when I issued the gag order. And they're like, yes. And he's like, No, I'm not. We gotta have a hearing on this. He's like, why? You're literally going back on everything you said. And so now, like, the judge hasn't signed the order, so Reckless Ben can't talk about it still because the gag order settlement thing hasn't been signed yet. It's crazy, Adam. It's crazy.
And where is all this happening?
There is a Wikipedia article for it. So, I'm going to link it in the chat room for anyone that cares. But if you go to Wikipedia and you just search for Bricks and Minifigs, or Reckless Ben, you just search for Reckless Ben, you'll find it there. That should link out to all the YouTube videos. Right there in the external videos, it shows a list of all the videos that you can watch. It's crazy, Adam. It's just insanely crazy.
I see a CoffeeZilla that says, I found the 200,000 missing Lego.
Yeah, that was the CoffeeZilla interview that
I
you did.
I see a Reckless Ben one. I tracked down the thief who stole the $200,000 worth
of
Lego.
That's the original. That's the original one.
And then something by law by Mike.
Yep. A lawyer basically explaining like how the Bricks and Minifigs were like, breaking the law and stuff. It's crazy. There's a GoFundMe involved that's now worth over $500,000. There's so much involved, Adam. It's crazy. I think that's that And I'll just move. Go ahead and talk about your thing, and then I'll talk about my thing, and then we'll go.
Well, I was sitting on the couch the other night, and
were you thinking about the Diffie-Hellman key exchange?
I was. I often do.
I mean, it is a great thing to think about.
I don't know what I was doing, but I was sitting there, and the Echo came up, had a notification.
Yeah.
And it said, you have a delivery. And so Mark was home. So he went, he's like, oh, I think it's my delivery. So he went out and got it and brought it in. And he said, this is your anniversary gift. We don't do anniversary gifts.
Do not.
We travel for our anniversary.
Right.
That is the gift.
That is it. You cannot do the other thing. The other thing is not allowed.
So I open it up and it is a pair of walking shoes.
Oh.
Because I had mentioned recently that I need another pair of walking shoes.
Yeah.
And he said, you can wear these for the trip. But now I feel like I need to give him something for our anniversary. And I only have 3 or 4 days because we're leaving on Wednesday of next week. And I know he was just doing it to be sweet. I mean, I understand that it's the rules, but he just, I mentioned something that I needed.
It's the rules, Adam.
And he was thought, oh, I'll be sweet and I'll get this for him because it's something that he needs and he's not working right now and, you know, blah, 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 whatever.
That's how it starts, Adam. That's how it starts.
He did do that with the bracelet.
Oh, I know. He slapped it out of your hand. He like, I will not wear this bracelet. I do not want this bracelet. Do you remember that whole thing?
No, he bought me a bracelet and I didn't have anything for him.
That is not the story as I remember it.
No, it is. He bought me a bracelet.
I remember. No.
And I didn't have a gift because we don't do gifts, but it was his logic was it was a milestone anniversary. And so he thought the rule didn't apply because it was a milestone. And so he felt like, yeah, but anyway,
Adam, I remember it this way.
This is not a story, but this is a horrible, I feel like I've been a horrible boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this trip was for our 10-year anniversary.
Yeah.
But so the day of our anniversary, we go to a lovely dinner. We did a tasting menu at a fancy restaurant. We get back to the hotel and Mark pulls out
a card.
And a bracelet with like diamonds and like all of this stuff. And I've got nothing.
Oh my God.
Nothing, Joe. He just takes my hand and puts a bracelet on me. Mm-hmm. He literally forcefully, Joe, puts a bracelet on my arm.
Yeah,
and
but it was
I got
a gift for me.
So pissed off. I like yanked the bracelet off of my arm and I said, no, I told you I didn't fucking want anything. I don't know.
Oh, wow. You cursed?
I was like, I don't know if I cussed, but I'm like, okay. No, I don't want anything. I'm giving this back to you. I'm taking it off my arm.
Did I do that?
Like, and I was very forceful. And Mark was irritated with me. He's like, well, you didn't have to be so mean about it.
Yeah, don't you? That's how I remember it, Adam.
That gosh, is, I was an asshole.
Yeah, I know. That's what everyone thought. That was spliced together. You heard the splices in there, Adam. That was two different stories that I spliced together. There was a dude that slapped a bracelet on you in Jamaica or something and wanted you to make a donation, and you just kept trying to give him this bracelet.
Oh, no,
back.
I didn't hear the splice. When did you do that? How did you even know I was going to talk about the...
Adam... I made that in 2022 when it happened. We talked about it was a whole bit on our show. Like I
and
played,
you just have that audio just hanging around.
I mean, I knew it existed, and I asked Sebastian to find it for me.
So you had the file on your computer.
He found a file called bracelet mixdown.mp3, and I basically said that there was a story about Adam.
I was like, wow, how could you be so prepared for this topic when I didn't even add it until today? And you're like finding old episodes and splicing shit together.
Adam, we have talked about things for 16 years. We're like the Simpsons at this point in time. We've literally done everything.
So my question is,
yes,
like now I need to get him something.
No, you don't. Right? No, you don't. Look.
And I don't know what to get him.
Someone can give someone a gift because they want to, because it makes him feel good. He's your boyfriend. You made a casual statement about, you know, or he noticed that you needed new shoes. He's very into running, and I know that runners go through a lot of shoes, so he was probably looking at shoes online or whatever and went, oh, you know what? These are very cute, and Adam needs some new walking shoes. I'll get him. It's our anniversary. I'll get him. It was probably just a nice thought in his head while he was doing something else. He was thinking of you, and go. So just accept it.
I know the chat room is being very, well, Lamont is being very, no, he broke the rules. You need to go break some rules. Go break two rules. But I mean, it's not like we have it written down anywhere, but we just generally, because
Kathy Marshall's on my side. See, it's okay just to receive a present. And here's the thing. There's nothing stopping you from doing the same thing at some random date, at some random time, just going, hey, I was thinking of you. Here's a present. I mean, you can do that. That's awesome. And then you feel good and the person feels good. But yeah, I feel like it's fine, Adam. It's
well, yeah, I mean, I needed shoes.
What anniversary is this?
14.
14 years, Adam. Like, what are you... Are you scared that if you don't get him a gift that he's going to break up with you? Or is like
no, I'm not scared. I'm not scared. I'm just saying, but I just feel like you now shouldn't. I should.
No, you shouldn't.
It's not that I don't want to give him gifts. It's just that
we spend quite
a bit on traveling.
It's fine, Adam. It's fine.
We spend quite a bit on traveling.
Yeah.
And we don't... You know, if we want something, we generally buy it for ourselves.
Right, exactly. It's very
so it's hard to get gifts for each other.
Yep, we do not do anniversary.
And so we usually say the traveling that we're doing is our gift because, you know, we're spending money on the trip. Mm-hmm. So, and I just suck. I suck at figuring out what to get for. Lamont says, oh my God, you make me feel so old. I've been listening to you for well over 14 years.
Zach went out to dinner with his running husband yesterday. And when he came back, because he was over at Disney Springs, and when he came back, he showed me a birthday card because we're going to a birthday party on Sunday. So he showed me the birthday card for the person whose birthday we're going to. And then... And he was like, oh, and I saw this and I thought of you. And it's a Perry the Platypus magnet for my car, like for the back of my car. It matches the colors of my car. So it's a little Perry the Platypus, little Agent P magnet.
Like a bumper sticker, but it's a magnet instead.
Yeah, well, it's just like a little, I took a picture.
It's not like a refrigerator magnet.
I took a picture. No, it's for the back of my car.
It's made specifically for a car, so it would stick.
Yes, it is. You can, as you'll see in the picture, it says automobiles magnet right on it. Cause that's a thing. Can I copy the image? Am I going to get the thing like your image is too big and you can't share it? No, there it is.
Auto magnet. So it's not,
yeah.
Okay.
See, it's got a little agent on board, and it's agent P.
Remember more people are going to think you're that guy.
That guy. Oh, they're Dan. They're going to think I'm Dan Povenmire.
Yeah.
Dan Povenmire is going to be like, you're stealing my shtick.
You get out of a car with an agent on board magnet on it, and you have the white beard.
It's the white beard and the glasses. And
you're wearing a Disney shirt because you always wear a Disney shirt.
It was a Phineas and Ferb t-shirt that I was wearing that day. Gentleman kept offering that up as if that was some kind of evidence that I was, in fact, Dan Povenmire. I was like, are you Dan Povenmire? I'm like, no. He's like, but you're wearing the shirt. And I'm like, it is a shirt that is sold at stores. There are thousands of people wearing this shirt at any given moment. But you're wearing the shirt. How dare you, a bearded man with glasses, wear a shirt from a television show that is very popular? All right. I don't think you should do anything. That's my take. If you have a different advice, listeners, you can always email.
It's too late. Because by the time you email or call, I'll be back from the trip.
It's happened twice now. It's happened twice.
Oh, there's no way I'm not getting a gift for 15. It's a milestone.
Yeah.
I guarantee you he'll be getting a gift.
Well, then you've got an entire year to plan for it. So you can get him a gift.
True.
Dig deep. Really get in his head. Think it's like, what would be the perfect gift? What would be the absolute perfect gift?
I have no clue.
Well, you got a year to figure it out. So
he loves shoes and clothes, and we do not have the same taste.
Yep.
And I mean, here's he looks great in what he wears, but I couldn't pick something for him.
You know what I would do? You know what I would do? Because you know me, I'm all in on the AI thing. I would take pictures of like his desk and his car, like the inside of his car, and I'd take pictures of like just, you know, like a wider picture of like his closet. And I give all those things to my agent and be like, hey, this is my boyfriend. These are the things that he likes. And then I would say, all right, now ask me 20 questions about him to get to know the kind of things that he might like. And then answer some questions about Mark and say, all right, now figure out, a great anniversary gift for the 15th anniversary, and then bring me back, at least 5 suggestions, and he'll come back and then say, no, I didn't like this because of that. I didn't like this because of that and everything. Now go get me 5 more, right? And like take that feedback and go get me 5 more. It's like after a couple of trips, you'll have, you'll have a great suggestion.
All right.
I'd like to remind you, it was Sebastian that came up with the idea of doing the theme songs as a kazoo, which is just fucking genius. So I'm very sad that you won't acknowledge.
You know that also breaks copyright law, because if you hum or sing a song.
But it will not trigger it will not trigger their automatic copyright takedown, though. their thing is not that good. It only detects. Because it's a digital fingerprint, it's just detecting specific, a combination of noises. This week has been really weird at work. I finally got my devs, right? So I have 3 kids.
You have interns, right?
They're called Dev Academy, but they're essentially they're just out of school.
Okay.
And this is their, their very first placement right out of school, as to learn to program. Like this is their graduation, as it were, is to do this job for crap pay or whatever. I don't know. The point is that there's 3 of them. So these are kids. These are, 18, 19 ish. 20-ish.
I mean, for Big Fatty, sometimes that's a gentleman caller.
Yeah, possibly, but sadly, though, these are people that I need work from.
Right.
And this whole thing is just such a clusterfuck. They gave me a project manager who's never been a project manager. She was in talent, and they brought her over here to be a project. So she doesn't know how to project manage. So I'm doing project manager's job as well as like dev. So like she has no idea how to, make an epic or put stories in. So like we're having to do all that. And because the speed that we're going, I'm not doing epics and stuff, because to me, that's project manager crap. And, I don't care. All I care about are stories and defects, right?
Project manager or product manager?
Project manager. Product is over. Remember, I come from a
product
place.
Normally is the one who writes the epics, and then the product owner would write the stories.
Well, no, not the
product. Or the dev can write the stories.
No, but our project manager would write stories. But for our.
So you guys just, okay. Your project manager is basically a product manager.
Yeah, there's a product manager above them that does the things that the kids pass down. It's like the point is that the product is a big, there's 200 devs, right? And it's like multiple, like it's a big project that they do over there. So I'm no longer in that anymore. I'm now, you know, lately just been doing full stack stuff. And in this case, now they decided to make me basically essentially a dev manager without paying me to be a dev manager. But so now I have three kids. It's just like nobody. So I just have these low points at work where I'm just like, this is such bullshit. Like they keep wanting me to, you know, speak in the meetings or me to present, but they don't tell me ahead of time. So it's just like, we get into this, you know, the weekly status meeting with our executive sponsors or whatever. And they're like, okay. And Daniel? And I'm like, wait, I'm dev. I was, I'm not doing that. I don't have a PowerPoint. I was like, that's not, you know, like she, our project manager has the PowerPoint. I helped her write the, you know, she asked me about the bullet. He's like, so now my manager is someone who's never there and never wants to do anything and is being pulled in 100 different directions. And then our executive sponsors are these people that are just impatient to have things done. And then, you know, the best they could do is give me these three kids, right? So despite all that, finished massive parts of two of the five projects this week, right? Essentially, if you look at just the code base and just the stories that were closed in super rapid succession, you're it would be equivalent of two or three dev teams what we did this week, right? Because we can just move really, really fast. And then they get to this point where Wednesday we're out of credits. Like we can't use Codex because we're out of credits. And so I like look in and I know that because I had helped them with their Codex administration stuff a couple of weeks ago or whatever. So, and I have the metrics from it and everything. So, but I knew in the big emergency channel where they were talking about Codex, they had laid out the plan that devs would have 1,000 credits a month and normal user, you know, other users have 400 credits a month. And then, you know, if you needed more than that, then you would have to go do this whole LPM thing, which is basically say why and prove why you need more. And I poked around and it's like, I'm not listed as a dev. So I have 400 credits. So of course I'm out of credits because I only had 400, right? It's like, I should have had 1,000. And I had 400 and I'm being shot. It's like, oh, well, it'll, and these are brand new, by the way. So in real terms, a credit is worth 7 cents, right? So 1,000 credits is $70, right? So if you have 1,000 credits a month, then you can use $70 worth of inference, right? And that inference cost varies depending on the model that you use and other factors, right? So you could use a very cheap model and you could do a lot more tokens and whatnot because they're much cheaper, right? And then if you did frontier models, they're more expensive. But all of that is boiled down into this credit, which is just a dollar amount that it would cost. And then it's heavily discounted to be 7 cents for each of those dollars that it would have cost, right? So it's just a way of, you know, confusing accounting, essentially. All of usage goes into theoretical dollars, but then everyone pays a percentage of that theoretical dollar depending on the contract that they negotiated with us, right? So it's one of those. We can negotiate different contracts with multiple customers, but we can publish a single number, right? So we can publish a single number and then it doesn't matter whether you pay 10 cents per credit and someone else pays 50 cents a credit. It's like they can, you know, no one knows that, only they know that. And then, you know, everyone can just agree on this dollar amount. Anyway, it's all bullshit. It's all stupid. I just over the last day, so we were down. We were down for like almost a full day because of this. And yet, despite that, we still like, crushed out a crap ton of work.
Is 1,000 credits a month enough?
Not anywhere close. I was going to say, it's like, they bumped me up to 1,000 and I'm already, probably at 700 used or so. So I only have like 300 credits left. Now, it rolls over.
Because I'm assuming your estimate to them on how long it would take, assume that you would be doing all of this with Codex.
Absolutely. So what happened is it rolls over on the 1st. So I have 300 left. The other devs these junior devs have varying amounts left. But it rolls over on Wednesday. And then we'll all have 1,000. And they've, some of them have run out of tokens because they were dumb. And I had to, teach them the difference between a thread and a turn and what that cost and like why you shouldn't be running 5.5 to ask a silly question about a code base, right? It's like, explain this code base to me. It's like, that should be the cheapest model that we have that you can pick, right? It's like, if you just want it to explain what a code, what code does, then yeah, all it's doing is reading and explaining it to you. It's like a cheap ass model can do that. Like, just because it can explain it doesn't mean it can write it, right? It's like there's a difference. But the they were never taught any of this stuff. They were just taught, it's like, oh, here's a tool, use it, right? And so they just were always running everything on 5.5, right? Which is super expensive. You can run it on 5.4 for half the cost. And 5.4 is competent for most things, really. As long as you're good at directing it, and in our case, we're talking about stories in a thing. So yeah, 5.4 can handle a story, like a well-defined story. Like I need you to add this to this page and, it should do this function. That's a story, right? And it's like, that's an easy amount of work that Codex do.
But at the same time, you're really enjoying using AI to do all of this.
I am. And the dumb thing is the $20 a month plans are so heavily subsidized that I can, the 1,000 credits that I get at work, I get more usage out of my $20 a month plan than I do out of those 1,000 credits. Because if you Google the math breakdown on how subsidized these things are, it's like your $20 a month Claude account or your $20 a month Anthropic account, if you use it all, you can be using thousands of dollars in inference. Like that it's just really heavily, they're banking on you not using the maximum amount of tokens. Most people don't. So it's one of those things that you have to master the whole 5-hour window thing wherein, when to, like, you have to remember that the goal when you're trying to use these, my personal accounts, right? Whatever. Yeah. The very first thing I do in the morning, regardless of anything, the very first thing I do is I ask a question of Codex on the cheapest model on the 5.4 mini. I just like, how many days until Christmas? How many days until Easter? Just some stupid little low token thing that it can do and return it. But that starts the window because the window doesn't start until you send the first message. So that starts the window. So I start that window at 7:30. I have no intention on coding anything right then. I'm not going to be, using it for coding until later in the day, like a little bit later. But if I start coding at hour 4 of that 5-hour window, then I can burn through all my usage in an hour and then it resets for the next. So I can get 2 hours of usage if I did that all out. More realistically, it's 2 hours, right? So if I take the last 2 hours I can use all of my tokens in that last 2 hours. And then I get another 2 hour session right after that. And for most things, there's nothing that I spend more than 4 hours doing anyway. It's like, that's 2 hours of heavy usage. That's rare for me to use, but I get way more, you know, I don't worry about hitting limits on my personal account, but they've, by setting this stupidly low ceiling of credits at work, it generates this whole culture of fear, right? You're very reticent to try things because once you lose your, you know, once you've used up your credits, you're locked out until, you know, it rolls over.
Well, it's like, what do you do? Because they're probably demanding that AI be used.
Right. So my answer to
this. And then they're limiting it.
Right. So my answer to this is to be proactive. So we can make it through, and since we're here on the after show, I can admit that during the time that we were down at work with where we were out of tokens at work, I just switched over to my personal account and kept using Codex on my personal account. And I was able to crank out a whole crap load of work at 5.4 medium, you know, so. Anyway, here's my plan. My plan of attack is this. We're good until the rollover. Once the rollover happens, then we're on a clock, right? I estimate we will probably blow through the 1,000 credit thing in a week. So what I want to do is I want to gather usage from the last several days where we've been going full out, like on the days that we have been going full out.
Yeah.
Because my workflow, as I described earlier, is very much like, do this feature, I check it, I make some tweaks, I check it, and I say, okay, now make a commit and push it. I'm constantly pushing to get, because, you know, once something works, I can always hard reset back to that. So all of the session data that you have with Codex, all of the session data that exists, everything that you typed, everything it typed back and everything is stored on your hard drive. It's stored in your home directory. That is how, when you're inside the Codex desktop app, you can see all your previous conversations over on the, you know, you can go back to any conversation that you had there. Those are all stored on your local hard drive. And they're broken out by date and, you know, year, month, day. And then the session ID, right? So, and it's just JSON. It's unencrypted JSON. So I essentially can just take all of the sessions that I've done since the rollover. And since every session essentially ends with make a push, you know, make a commit and push, I can basically tie every single one of those sessions to an actual story that got closed. And inside that metadata are the number of tokens that were used. So I can actually run a sweep that will basically tell, you know, this is how many stories, these are the stories that were closed, these are the number of tokens that were used to do that, and this is how many credits that cost. And so that when I do have to beg for more tokens, I can basically plop down a big a big stupid 4-ring binder on their desk of like going, here's what I did with 1,000 in a week. And it's like, I can do that times 4, but you gotta, you know, this is, you know, you can't expect me to replace 3 dev teams for $70 a month. It's like, that is unrealistic. You need to raise that, you know, by a factor of 5. Like, realistically, I feel like the ceiling should be 5,000, which is something I would probably never hit. But that's the point, that you wouldn't hit it unless you just did something crazy. Like, as long as you're playing fairly and are, you know, respecting a good, you know, practices and whatever, you would never get near 5,000. You would probably top out at around 3,000 or something. But I feel like having to stop what you're doing to work, to go and then ask for more, slows things down worse than anything else, right? This is, This is crap. It's like,
well, you can also say to them, if you don't, you won't get what you
right
wanted to get.
And what is like, the thing? So the point is so four, let's say five times 70, right, is $350. So $350 a month for every single dev is a maximum. That doesn't mean you're spending $350 a month on each dev. You're just saying that no dev is going to go over $350. We will, if they hit $350, we will stop them and then we'll have a conversation, right? Like, what are you doing? Why? What's happening? Why do you need more tokens? Right? Why do you need everything? But by making that ceiling so low, everyone is hitting the limits that's doing any kind of real work. And so then they're asking, well, where's the work? You're not showing me the work. And this is the beauty of my workflow, Adam. That's because I could do two or three commits for a single story, right? But what matters is the commits, right? Because the commits are written nicely. It's like going, I added this feature, I did this, right? It's like,
yeah.
And those are the things I can tie to token. So it's not even, it's even more stuff than is in the, it's more detailed than what's in the
ALF. Well, are they not seeing demos of what you guys have already done? Or, because I mean.
Well, sorry.
You said you for have status us, meetings yeah. and stuff like no, that.
Yeah, yeah. For so. Us, yes. But the people that see the demos are not the people that control the credits.
I see.
And so it becomes this thing where they gave us a tool. And at first, that tool had no usage. There was no usage limit. It was just the tool. They gave us a tool and said, here, have at it. And that is because what OpenAI does is when you are a big corporate client and you first sign up, they say you can have, you know, a couple of months of free usage for you to figure out your stuff. And then we will, you know, on your third or fourth month, we'll kick into this, you know, to this paper, or maybe it's 6 months, whatever. There is a, you know, you're signing a contract with them that you will use their services for X years or whatever. And as part of that, they're going to give you your first 6 months free or whatever. So for you to get your policies in place and to not run into, you know, running out of outages or, you know, huge spends that you weren't anticipating. Sure. But no one took that into account. No one like conveyed the idea of, hey, we have this for free, so we should be spending that time monitoring, you know, go ahead, do what you want to do, but let's pay attention to what things cost. Like, give us an idea of, if I do this, it's going to be expensive. If I do this, you know, do I really need to use the most expensive model for this? Or is this something that I could probably, you know, use a smaller one for? You know what I'm saying? It's like there's,
yeah,
there, but no one thinks about that because when there's no cost, everyone just leaves it set to, you know, 5.5. And as I told you before, they had defaulted it all to be fast, which is automatically twice the number of tokens, right? So it was, you know, it was just dumb that no one monitored this. And so what happens is they hit, you know, when they got to the point where they actually started to have to pay, right? They get a bill and like, what the fuck? It's like, what is that? It's quick. What's going on here? And it's like, oh, it's these people with their blah, de blah. And it's like, you know, we gotta restrict them. And like, and let's put in caps. And if they need more than 1,000 credits, well, then they're going to have to justify that. Right. And it's like, there was absolutely zero metrics involved in them picking 1,000 credits. That is a number that they just pulled out of their ass. They're just like going, yep, devs should have 1,000 credits. It's like, there's no reasoning behind that. And the reason I know there's no reasoning behind that is because I wrote the program that exports the metrics every day. So I see them, you know, I see the metrics. It's like, I can tell you what the average token spend is the average credit spend is for any given dev. Or for all the devs, right? So, and I can tell you that the average spend is somewhere around 400 credits a week is the average spend for all of our devs, you know, in aggregate. So 1,000 cap means that the average person will hit that cap if they continue it with the same usage, right? They will hit it
in week three.
Right, at the end of the week. Or the end of the second sprint or whatever. And it's, you know, that's tomorrow's problem. So it's just, it's all so short-sighted. It's all so not thought out. And the thing that pisses me off the most is it's not like it's unknowable. Like, I figured out a solution to tie what my token usage is. I keep saying token and I mean credit. I can tie what my credit usage is directly to work. Like I can, you don't have to be in Agility, you don't, which is our ALM or whatever. You don't have to know what an Epic of Restore it is. Here's a list of all the commits that I made and how much each one cost, right? It's like, it cost 39 cents to add this dialogue box. It cost, you know, 40 credits to, the rumor they're not cents, but it's like, you know,
yeah.
It cost 39 credits to do this and it cost 25 credits to do that. And it cost 115 credits to put 4 new endpoints on the API and rewrite the search routines and then also spin up a new table in the database. It's like, you know, all of this, so I can tie it directly to all of these commits. And say like, look, this is what I did with what you gave me. And this is why you should give me more because, you know, I can't, I'm now out. I've done a huge pile of work and, you know, this is not, it's not imaginary work. It exists. You can see it, right? This is not like a massive project where I'm like, you know, one of 14 dev teams. And, you know, my single day's worth of work isn't really going to show in a demo anyway, because it has to do with, you know, a microservice in the background and, you know, something that isn't going to put a button on a screen, right? And non-programmers treat a button on the screen as being work, right? Like every dev has known that trick since the beginning of time. If you want to get people off your back, you add a new menu item to a menu. It doesn't need to do anything. It just needs to be there. If it says reports, then they assume you wrote a report segment section, right? It's like if it says, claim, auto claim payments or whatever, they assume you wrote that. It's like the average user doesn't have a real concept of the fact that like something can be on a menu. It's just text. It doesn't mean that thing exists. It's just a piece of a UI. It doesn't, you know, there's work, there's processes that do work, and then there's UI, right? And it's like what you're seeing is a UI and you think it's the same thing, but that's just a button to start something, right?
Right.
And
you need the back end bits.
Right. You need the piece that actually does the work. And that stuff you can't see, right? You can't see. All you can see is the results of what you did and click on the button as a user, right? I'm saying.
Right.
So it's kind of, anyway, Adam, so I've been having some very low days at work. Because I am frustrated and I apologize for venting, but it is very cathartic for me to vent. But then I have days like today. Like today, I had a great day. Today, our project manager was out sick. My boss was traveling again. I swear to God, this guy's never, ever around. We had a good week. We had done a lot of work this week. And I know because I, on the PowerPoint, I had put in the line or whatever. So I get a message this morning from the project manager going like, I'm not feeling good today. I've already talked to JT. JT's our boss. I've already talked to JT so he'll handle the meeting and, I'll talk to you guys on Monday, blah, blah, blah. And we have our morning meeting. JT doesn't show up to the morning meeting. We have our morning meeting and we're all like, okay, well, Christina said JT's handling the meeting. So, we'll just show up and be ready to address any specifics. That's how it should work, right? Is that the project manager, our project manager presents our status and everything to the Steerco, which is what this is. And, feedback happens. And when they give feedback, then I, as the technical person, would correct something and go like, no, actually what happened is this, or that can't happen because this, you know, something like that. So my role is usually, you know, to fill in details or to explain something. So, we get into the meeting and of course the meeting starts and then JT is like, okay. And Daniel. Now, Our Steerco is the CFO, the head of the department that we are currently automating stuff for, and another head. So there's two departments that we're automating. So the heads of those two departments and our CFO. That's our normal Steerco every week, is that. Because the CFO is out on vacation this week, it was the CEO. So it's the CEO and the two heads, and then my boss basically just throws it to me, right? And it's like, I don't have a PowerPoint. I wasn't planning on, so it's not in my history. I can't live stream it from Teams because I've not opened this PowerPoint in any kind of a way. I don't want to fumble around and try to find it because I don't know what she named it and I don't remember the last place. So I'm looking in my email and, you know, she had sent out a PDF of it. So I essentially just say, oh, here's the PDF. We'll just use that. Okay. I'm sorry. Not a project manager. I'll just go on, you know, I can speak to where we are at status wise. And I covered all the things. And then this lady, she's like the head of this department. And she is one of those people that she knows something. And once she knows something, she's going to tell you. Doesn't have to be right. She knows something. You know what I'm saying? She believes something.
Sure.
So she's going to bring it up every chance she can get. And in this particular case, it had to do with a month-end reporting process that we had done automation on. And I was explaining that the first part of the automation, which was automatically pulling the graphs from Domo, which is our reporting system, our BI system. So pulling graphs from there and putting them on the appropriate PowerPoint page, because that is something that they were having to manually do. They were having to go take a screenshot and copy it. So we've automated that process so that from this one dashboard, they can... they have a little config thing so that they can say this slide should go for this client, this slide should go here for, you know, because there's slightly different variations. So that way it's just a single button. They run a program, it generates the PowerPoint, the final PowerPoint for them, and then all they have to do is just go in and add narratives or whatever. But that saves a huge amount of work, right? These people are spending up to a half a day per client pulling together all of these reports and stuff. Sure. And so we're automating that whole thing so that all they have to do is just spend maybe 10 minutes or 30 minutes looking at a PowerPoint and editing. So huge savings of time. I don't remember what my point was on that, but oh, I know what it was. Is
she knows something and she has to let you know.
She knows something. She has to know. So then she's like, I move on to the next thing that we were, that was on the list and explain that, you know, the other three projects on there, you know, we haven't actually started yet because we spent this week getting, you know, resources in place for those. We have to have demo machines and demo data and stuff like that because we can't do automatic charge posting on a live system, right? So we need a demo system to do it on and stuff like that. We've gotten all those set up. We had to onboard the devs. We had, you know, other things. And we did these two other projects. We did these two whole projects. And then we're moving on. And I'm explaining the other ones. And then she goes, yeah, I have a, when I was done, I was like, and that's where we got. If there's any questions and I would like to go back. I would like to go back to the month in reporting. I would like to go back to the month in reporting. I know that when we had talked about it, that I had told you that I didn't want the graphs out of Domo. I wanted them to be done in Power BI because our customers are complaining about how ugly the graphs are and how amateurish they look. And, you know, the Power BI will produce much better graphs and much better presentations. And we wanted to move to, you know, Power BI. I took a class online. It was a $4 class. I took a $4 and learned all about Power BI. And it's like, it is so much better. It's so much better. And so I'm like we had this conversation, bitch. And I said to you when we had that conversation, this is what I'm saying in my head. I didn't say this out loud. This is what I'm saying in my head. It's like, when I had that conversation with you and everyone else, I told you, our job is to automate your workflow. if you're interested in changing your workflow, that's not us. It's like, so if you're going to move to a different reporting system, we'll put that project on hold until you've switched over to another reporting system, and then, you know, we'll pick it back up at that point.
Yeah.
No, we should move forward. You know, the decision was made, but I was very clear about the fact that, you know, we're an automation team. We're not a customization team. We're not here to, you know, spit polish your reports or whatever. We're here to replace tedious processes, right? If you want to improve those processes because we've saved you a lot of time, then hey, look, you got a lot of time and you can improve those processes and make better graphs or make whatever. And we can work with you into changing those things. But it's like, that's not us. It's not our job to...
Right.
None of us are qualified to make your fucking graphs. It's like, you want a UI person. You want a designer. It's like, we have an entire team of designers and fucking dev over there. Go talk to them. But she tells me this. So I had to do the whole, because the CEO is fucking there. So I'm just having to be like, well, my position from the automation team is that what you're asking for is, you know, a change in the process, and we're just automating the process that's there. And what didn't I say that I, was going to, it's like, the last that I heard is that you were going to investigate switching your stuff to Power BI with the reporting team, and that you would let me know. And, you know, so the last I had on this was that we were just going forward with the existing process. That was what I was told. So if you had said something else, I didn't get that communication and I apologize, right? And moved on, right? And, did the thing. In the meantime, I'm typing on my keyboard to my boss. I'm like, if I Venmo her $4, will she shut the fuck up about this web course that she took? It's like, cause she brings this up like all the time, right? And he's British, by the way, he's British. And so then the CEO asked me a bunch of pointed questions about some of the stuff. And I was able to give him a bunch of good news there. And there was even one thing where they were going to go off on this whole expensive trek to automate some kind of payment posting in their new product. And they were outsourcing it to a startup because that's what we're doing. That's exactly what this is. And it's like, you know, we can meet with that team and they can just take our stuff. It's like, you know, if we're just doing it on a smaller scale, but exactly what they want to do is what we're doing. So there's no need to go to outsource. You can just do this. And so they set up like a meeting with the head of that program, whatever, to talk to me and to my boss and to the project manager, both of whom were out. And then I had to talk to the head of that team or whatever. And she was gung-ho on this whole startup thing. And then after, I don't know, like 5 minutes of just talking about it, now, keep in mind, I haven't written a line of code yet. I haven't written, all I've done is scoped it out and said, yeah, we can do this. Like, you know, my hypothesis is we can do this and it will work. And if it doesn't work, then I have a backup plan and we can do this. But this, you know, this alpha path here, right? 80% sure. Yeah. 80% sure that'll work. There's a slightly longer path underneath that I'm 90% sure is work. And then there's a much longer workflow that is, I'm 100% sure would work. Right. So anyway, after I sit there and explain it to her and I hear the promises that this startup is making, which are just like, are they just pasting a file in ChatGPT and asking it a question? It's like, they're not doing anything. There is like, that's any LLM on the planet could do that. It's just like, that's, you know, this is child's play, right? It's like, it's just dumb.
Yeah.
And then she was, I think the kicker was when she was like, well, it'll only work with one of our EHRs because they have to write the process and stuff. And so we will just be focusing on the one EHR. because we have two different EHRs because we've been merged from a bunch of different companies. And so then I looked at her and I was like, oh, well, we were just going to do an intermediary file format and then convert it to, convert it to an ERA. So as if it came in electronically, because both EHRs already have auto payment systems that will read an electronic remittance. So it's like, all we have to do is convert these claims that are coming in different formats here. We just have to convert that payment information into a format that we can then convert to ERA and Bob's your uncle, right? So, and the beauty there is all we have to do is get it into a universal format, and then it's programmatic after that. So there's no inference cost on it, right? It's being handled programmatically, which is free, instead of being handled by an LLM, which is stochastic and, expensive. So, and by the end of it, she was like wanting to see the two projects that we finished this week. She's like, can you show me those? Can you show me what it is? She's like, oh, that's amazing. Oh my God, that's great. You guys did that in a week? And it's like, oh, that's great. And it's like, so then I had a really good day today, right? Because it's like, CEO, my boss, after a very long delay, sent me an LOL to my joke, and then said, well handled, which I'm assuming is British for good job.
Yeah.
I had a good day today.
Well, good.
But I still think I need to leave this fucking place. Because one good day does not, I'm saying? It's like, I've had some very stressy days lately where I've, almost a panic attack. And I don't know why. I think it's that whole credit thing. I think it's the whole credit thing hanging over my head. And it's like, and so I'm just like, I'm super fucking wary about, pushing things because I've got the sword of Damocles dangling over me.
Right. Well, you're just going to have to explain. I mean, can your team pay for the additional? Like, can they charge your team? Is there any money in your team budget that...
I mean, I think there should
could
be.
Could be used to increase...
I think there should be. That would be my suggestion.
Like a chargeback sort of right. situation or...
Like we were told by the CFO that we are the second most important project in the company. That the... Number one is our product that we're, actively developing and selling. But internally to, automate processes so that we can reduce headcount and, clear up some redundancies and fix some very error prone things. That is a super huge priority, right?
Then you just say we need a little budget for to be able to do that.
But here's the thing. I'm just a guy. It's like my boss is absent. He's, he's not doing that. He's not talking to these people and going like, no, I want my guys to have this, right? It's like, put it on my credit card, like put it on my department, whatever. It's like that they need this. Because no one knows these, like no one, everyone just assumes because someone pulled a number out of their butt, because someone pulled 400 credits out of their butt and said, this is a realistic, cap because I read it on the internet somewhere.
Well, right. But that's why you're going to put together that report.
Right. But I'm just saying, why aren't they doing this? Why aren't they trying to figure out, because their fear is, I guess, their fear is that we're just generating porn images or, AI slop or like, what are we like, what do they think we're doing when we run out of tokens?
Well, they just may have a certain budget. They may have a certain budget.
They do, but
at the
same time, at the same time, if you want people to, if you want productive people, you got to give them the tools. And I'm sorry, if you're going to talk about budget or whatever, $70 a month.
Yeah. Per dev. which you've got.
Okay. There are people.
You said hundreds.
Yeah, there's hundreds. There's 200 devs.
Yeah.
Oh. That's nothing. $70 a month times 200? That's nothing. What is that, 14,000?
That sounds right.
That's nothing.
Well, I don't know. I'm just saying. I don't know how much money your company
has. Our AWS bill is, you know, $100,000 a month or whatever. You know, so it's just like, yeah, 14,000 is nothing. Like, we sell medical software to medical companies. Like, we sell obscenely expensive medical software to medical companies. Like, we're not, you know, we're losing money now. We're not losing money, but we're not making as much money now because of bad management, honestly. But, failure to see. It's maddening that the FHIR, F-H-I-R, which is a standardized way of doing health records, mandated by the government to make health systems interoperable, so that if you go to a hospital in Oklahoma, that your patient records that they get from your home office in Alabama are in the same format, and they can be both written and written to, so that your records can seamlessly travel in the same format to everyone in the healthcare arena anywhere in the country, and can be shared between systems, right? That is the law, right? The law was put into place, I want to say 2010 was the first time they tried, and then a bunch of medical companies we can't get that done. This is too heavy of a lift. You're not giving us enough time. We need a delay, right? And so then they delayed it by 3 or 4 years, and then they delayed it again. And finally, in, I want to say, right around COVID time, like 2020, it finally, you know, no more extensions. Now this is happening. Epic lost their lawsuit on it. And it was kind of like, nope, this is now the law of the land. And the reason that they were fighting it so long is because these medical systems can make so much money because it's expensive to leave. Your data is in a proprietary format. It's, housed in a system here. And if you want to leave and go to another system, you got to get all of your data, all of your history out of this system and bring it over, because patient history is important. You can't just have it in multiple systems, right? There's got to be a cohesive line for record. Right. Doctors have record keeping responsibilities and stuff. So it's expensive because but with FHIR, if everything is in a common format or is required to be in a common format, suddenly it's not as expensive to leave a bad EHR and go to a better one, because you don't have to pay them to get your data out and everything. Your data is available in a universal format.
Correct.
And mandated by law. So it's one of those things where, we're losing sales volume, and we're not selling as many new things or whatever, because our products are old and people are going to other systems.
Are you building a new product you were talking about?
Yeah, important. They're trying to build a new product to bring back up their sales, you know, an AI-enabled product that honestly would have been really cool 2 years ago. But today, the thing that they're pitching, the thing that they're pushing, literally could be done with a $20 digital audio recorder and ChatGPT. It's essentially like transcribing the conversation that the doctor and the patient have together, and then bringing out information to self fill in the encounter notes and stuff like that. It's like, yeah, that would have been cool 2 years ago, right? But now everyone knows. It's like, oh, I could just give this file to Notebook LM and it'll make a transcript of it. And then, you know, I can just say, now put that into this format. It's like, I could do that myself. It's like, you know, I don't need your brand new expensive software to do this. And we can't seem to get out of our own way. like most of the executives other than the CEO and CFO, most of the executives around me that have had any kind of dealings with me over the past couple of years have been with the company for 4 months, 5 months, 7 months. It's like they're, you know, they've had a very high churn rate in their upper management. And I think a lot of it is just, you know, writing on the wall. Like their plan was to fight the whole fire thing along with Epic. And, you know, that was what they, oh, no, they'll never enact it. It'll be like ICD-10. It'll never happen. But it's like, it did. And you were banking everything on, and you had plenty of time. You had plenty of time to make another play, right? Like, yeah, we have an old ancient fucking system, but we have a lot of industry and domain knowledge, right? So why didn't we instead pivot and go, you know what? We can make, from all of our knowledge and from our two different EHRs and dealing specifically with pediatric sites, you know, around the country, we can write an immunization module that is the best. It's the most kick-ass immunization module ever. And because all data is now required to be interoperable, that means it can be used with anything. So if they already have an Epic system or something, or a Cerner system, a Cerner system or something like that, it doesn't matter. If they want to use our immunization module, it plugs right in. They can just buy the immunization module for us. And it's like, why didn't we take the areas that we were really good at, break them down into smaller applications that would work with anything and it'd take advantage of the universal file format instead of putting all of our eggs in the fighting the universal format? And, you know, now we're at this point where, you know, the people hanging on are the same people that still have like cable television, right? It's they're just people that are, they're retiring doctors that they don't care. They just, it's, that sounds expensive. This is working. Let's just keep going. So it's like, that's why I need to leave. It's because it's just annoying that these people are just not smart. And it's like, yeah. And they make insane amounts of more money than me. And they're just not smart. And I'm just like, you know what I'm saying? It's just like, why am I?
Yeah.
This is. So anyway, so that's what I will be doing tomorrow is I asked Sebastian about strategies because I haven't made a resume in a decade. And he's like, you know what? Just have a conversation with me. Just like start telling me about where you worked and what your jobs are and everything. And I'll pull it together and, you know, put it in a good format and everything. And yeah, you could go to another place, but honestly, they're probably just going to do the same thing. So it's like, I can do it for free. So let me take a shot at it. And so I was like, all right, cool. So I'll sit down with Sebastian tomorrow and basically say like, yeah, I used to work at this place there this time. And then I did some stuff. This is what I did there that I was proud of. Like, there's other thing, you know, I worked in Yale, I did this thing. And then I, you know, whatever. The point is, you know, I just let it talk and let it pick things out and decide what it wants to highlight and what it doesn't. And, yeah, we'll see what happens.
Cool. Well, good luck with that.
Anyway, I'm sorry.
I'm going to have to do that at some point.
Sorry, I kept you awake, Adam. Oh, did you order food? Do you have food coming?
No, I didn't order food. I've been trying to just eat something at home.
Oh, I remember.
I saved one of my Childcraft books. Yeah, Childcraft. I had the whole set.
This is for those of you listening in Level 13, Lamont Cranston just posted in the chat room, Adam, I saved one of my Childcraft books. This was a year-end special. I think my parents bought two of those special editions before they canceled it. I love the puzzles and riddles in this. The rest of Childcraft series, plus the World Book Encyclopedia from 1980, was tossed about 15 years ago. Yeah, I remember I don't remember the Childcraft. I think maybe I'm too old. Maybe that was instituted
maybe
after I was a child. Because we did have a World Book set.
And we only had 1 year worth of... You know, we bought a set, so it was for whatever year my parents bought it.
Kathy Marshall had added two things to my rant about my job, and I didn't want to, I didn't see them. I apologize. Yeah, managing three new programmers is rough, especially because I'm not a manager. It's like, I'm just not, I'm doing the best I can, But then I run into these conundrums. Adam, do you have a moment to just help me with this one conundrum?
Sure.
I had three kids. Two of them are in India. One of them is here. The two in India, today was their graduation day. So they were going to be out today because of their graduation. So yesterday, one of them was completely out of tokens and there was no hope of him getting more this month because he had gone so far over. And because no one taught him how to fucking use the thing. And then, so I had him pair program with the other guy. And so those were the two in India. I'm like, all right, well, then you team up with this guy. And this is what I want. There is an existing API server on our server. So, you can find the software, you can find the code for it in this Git repository. It serves the endpoints that our Chrome extensions are using, right? And so what I need is I need a new endpoint that if I pass in a database ID that you return me the HTML payload that is being stored in the database. And I want it stripped of the, because we're pulling pages from a Confluent system. And so I want to take out all their crap, all their data. So I just want simple HTML. I just want the data. So I just want the HTML. It's already in HTML, but strip out all the JavaScript and then just do a simple CSS on the fields. It's just tables, right? So I was like, and this was in the morning. So I'm like, work on this. And that's all I need, as I just need add to our existing API an endpoint for this, that if I put in a database ID, you send me back cleaned up HTML. And that's all I wanted. And so I let them go, I let them do it. Like everything else, I'm like, if you need me, text me, message me in Teams, whatever. I'm happy to, if you get stuck, whatever, let me know. But, work on that together. And then I had to turn and talk to the other guy, the other dev, and give him something to do and whatever. And then, of course, I had to do my own shit. So when I meet back up with him at the end of the day, I know I'm making this a very long story and I apologize, but this is where my conundrum comes in. At the end of the day, on the end of Thursday, they're both going to be out on Friday. And right before the end of day meeting at 2:00, because that's almost midnight their time. So that's like 11:30 PM their time. So, we have overlapping hours, but I'm done with them by 2:30, which is midnight. And
yes.
Yeah. So the 2:00 meeting, like right before the 2:00 meeting, they send me a zip file of, well, we've completed the API thing and, zip file. So I take the zip file, I unzip it and everything. It's a .NET project, whatever. So I bring it up in Visual Studio. I run it and it's a standalone MVC web system that you put in a phone number, the client phone number, which is how the Chrome extension finds things to start with. And then it calls our existing API to get the data and then renders a web page with their CSS and everything. And to their credit, the CSS was good. And, it rendered nicely or whatever, but I'm like, but this isn't what I asked for. Right. What I don't want to stand on. Like I just wanted this at the end point. Right. It's like our Chrome extension needs to display this page to them. Right. So I need our .NET program to basically strip out all the HTML and give it to the Chrome extension in a way that it can display it without doing a lot of work, right? That's all I want. So it was they just totally didn't get that. And then I'm like, well, I don't want to be, an asshole. So I'm just like, but, good on you. You did accomplish getting the HTML. It looks like it renders nicely. This all seems to be good. You got the JavaScript.
Yeah.
You got the minimal JavaScript injected there. And so, it's fine. I can add it to the API. I can take this piece and add it to the API. But, I did what I was hoping that you would do, is add this code to our existing repository in our existing project, right? Instead of writing something completely new. And then I let them, you know, I let them go a little early, 15 minutes early. Look at me. Aren't I golden? Gave them 15 minutes. So I let them go and I talked to the other. And then later when I was incorporating their work into my API, which is the thing that they should have done, I'm testing it and newer pages aren't rendering at all. And so I asked Codex about it and it's like going, oh yeah, Confluence changed their HTML scheme on their pages to a newer format. So newer pages don't have the same. So it's the interpreter is getting choked up on, it's expecting a different format than what it's getting and it's failing. And I'm like, oh, well, can you fix that? And they're like, oh yeah, we'll check the version and we'll do the, you know, do that. And everything fixed it. And it was a trivial fix. It fixed it, whatever. So here's my conundrum. The responsible programmer in me wants to essentially, because they're going to be in Monday morning at like 5 a.m. my time. So I was going to leave them a Teams message of, you know, I found a bug in your program, which it's not rendering these page, you know, certain pages correctly. Can you fix that by the time I get in? Now, remember, I've already fixed it. It's already running in the other thing. Like, cause I've moved forward. Like it's already in production at this point in time. Like it's no longer a thing that I need from them. I've already incorporated it into.
Oh, well then you're wasting their time.
Well, am I though? Cause that's the conundrum. That's the conundrum because you learn to program by failing. You learn the lesson that they would learn here is you handed me something and you didn't check it. It's like all you had to do was just do a couple of checks and you would have found that bug and fixed it, right? It wasn't hard to fix.
What I would have done is compliment them on the good work, but there must have been a miscommunication. You know, you didn't quite get this. When you come back in on Monday, can you work to add it and have them do the work? I wouldn't have done the work for them.
But you don't understand. I have 4 weeks to finish these projects.
No, I know. But now that you've already done the work, because you have such limited time and limited number of credits available to each of you, it seems like a waste to use this as a learning moment.
I know. And doesn't that suck?
I see what you want to do, but I think practically speaking.
Yeah, and because of the fucking credit
situation. The work is already done.
Yeah, exactly. And this is bullshit. It's like, how are we going to have new devs?
Well, what you could do is go through what you did. So you could explain to them what you did. So they still get the knowledge.
Yeah,
but they're just not having to do it.
It's not the same. And my thought process was this. One, it's a good learning experience. And two, we're starting brand new stuff on Monday and I'm not there till 9. So it's like, they're going to be there for 3 hours before I get there. And like, I've already finished their work. So there's no work for them to do. So I feel like they're just going to sit there fucking off for 3 hours, or they can maybe learn something. And it's like, that was the thought was, you know,
well, then it's just a trade-off of
I know.
Credits.
I know. And it's just such a fucking, that's what I hate, this whole culture. It's like, it's a culture of fear, right? You're scared to do it because you don't want to run out of tokens, right? And it's such a trivial thing. It's like, these are not expensive things. It's like you, on the one hand, you want to replace devs, right? I want to use 4 devs to do the work of 12. And that's great. So, you know, if we can do that, you know, if we can 4x productivity, then that's great. But you can't expect me to replace, theoretically, because my position is no one's getting replaced. It's just we can work faster. The thing is, what was my point? It's not. Oh, the thing is that if you want me to replace, if you want me to do the work of 4 dev teams, my dev team to do the work of 4 dev teams, that's an admirable goal. And I think that that is something that we absolutely can do. But if you think we can do it on $70, that's ridiculous. Right. You want us to replace, you know, easily. What do those devs cost a month? What are those, you know, it's like four teams of four devs, and we're going to do it with just four devs, right? So that means there's 12 additional devs that we're replacing. We're doing the work of 16 devs, you know, in the space of four. So those 16 devs, you know, if they only make $12,000 a year, that's still $1,000 a month for each one of those devs that you would be paying, right? So it's like we're at a very, you know, below minimum wage, hypothetical, pulling numbers out of my ass. You know, if you were only paying your devs $12,000, you know, and you want to do it for $70, it's just like, it's just these people. It's like I want to increase productivity by 4x, but I don't want to pay any more money. And it's like, I'm not asking you to pay 4x. I'm just asking you to, you know, it's not even a junior dev, honestly. It's like, if you just took $1,000, if you said, hey, you know what, your ceiling is $1,000 a month, right? Like, you'll never hit it. Like, unless you do something crazy, you'll never hit it. But you know what? It's there. It's like you've got this. It doesn't mean I'm going to use $1,000 every month. Maybe I'll only use $300. Maybe I'll only use $100. Maybe I'll only use $50. But if I need to, I could go all the way up to $1,000 because something went crazy or whatever. And, you know, but in the meantime, I'm doing the job of way more people. So you're not losing money. You're making money. It's like, this is $70, Adam. $70.
$70.
They want me to replace four devs for $70 a month. Well, I guess I would be replacing three. No, because it's me plus three. So they want me to do the job of four devs for $70 a month. That is just, that's insane.
Well, that's why you're going to do what you said you were going to do is show how many features were delivered with how many.
There's still a part of me that's, you know, like, no, they're going to shut me down. Like, I'm already having imaginary arguments in my head about this. I just got to get the fuck out of this place. It's just like, the guy that just left, you know, to go to a startup, I had messaged him earlier in the week because we had couldn't figure out something on the server that he had set up. And so he walked me through it. And I forgot to ask him how his job was going, how his first week was going. So I asked him that today. I was just like, how's your first job? You know, how's the first week going? He goes, oh, it's been great. And, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I told him, I was like, you know, I got to get the fuck out of here. And he's like, well, we're not set up for fully remote yet, but I'll keep an eye out. Let's see. I don't know if they're hiring full remote yet, but if that changes, I'll keep you posted. Credits are not a concern here. I asked for an increase and they handed me a credit card.
Oh.
And I was like, fuck. So
cool. Yeah.
So they've, it's not really $70, is it? I mean, we don't use subsidized at work because we're an enterprise. So yeah, we are paying those credit, like 1,000 credits would be $70 in real money.
I know, but the A?
She typed and she hit a fat finger on a, or a, not fat finger, but she missed, I don't know. She hit enter by mistake, Adam.
Sometimes Kathy will just breathe on her keyboard or something and I'll see it looks like she's
and you can make
writing.
You can make
and then there, no message appears. Yeah. The AI companies are undercharging.
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah. Although, you know what? There were some reports that was showing that Anthropic, before the whole Fable debacle, actually, even after the Fable debacle, that Anthropic was actually turning a small profit. Like, they were almost breaking even on their... Now, Anthropic has been the most aggressive. They do subsidize their use, but if you don't use Claude code, it's not subsidized. Like, you can't use your inference in any tool except Claude code. And Claude Code sucks. Claude Code is the worst. It hangs. It renders things wrong. Sometimes it'll spin off into nowhere. Sometimes, even after you've told it 100 times, you know, not to compile the, you know, just test the compile, but don't run it. Don't launch it because I'm running it in Visual Studio. You know, I'll run it in Visual Studio and it's like, it'll still launch things. It's like Claude Code is just a piece of crap. And Codex, on the other hand, you know, as a harness is great. And a lot of people are actually paying API prices and using Claude models in Codex instead of using fucking Claude Code. Because Claude Code is just a hot piece of shit. Unless you're using the Mac version, because they at Anthropic write Mac. So that's like, so Claude Code Mac version is the only thing that works. It gets all the features, right? And it's like, but if you're not, you know, we're a Windows shop. So it's like, we're, you know, we have to use the shitty web lap, you know, shitty, either we have to use the shitty Windows desktop version of Claude Code, which is shit and slow as hell. Or you have to pop down into WSL and use the terminal, which is what I do. If I have to use Claude. But I would say at this point, 99% of what I do is Codex and open in GPT-5.4 is where I'm at right now.
Cool.
So Adam, it's been a pleasure. I'm sorry I kept
you. It's been a long road getting from there to here.
The Enterprise, man. Enterprise. And I'm going to go to bed, listen to my new podcast app, my nighttime list.
We'll cool.
Talk about that in what, 3 weeks, I guess.
3 weeks.
All right. Level 13. It was always a pleasure. Chat room. Always a pleasure. Kathy Marshall, Lamont Cranston at the Two Stragglers.
Thanks,
at,
Lamont.
At the bar. Good night. Thank you, Lamont Cranston. I've been wished safe sex, and Adam has been wished safe travels. And Kathy Marshall said good night. So
good night.
Good night.